All right, let's get started with today's deep dive, and we're diving into some royal drama. Ancient Judah, power struggles, pride, and the consequences. Oh, and it all comes from Dr. August Conkle's lecture series on Chronicles.
Ah, Chronicles.
Two kings, Jehoash and Amaziah, and their stories. They are anything but boring.
You know, these kings, they weren't necessarily bad rulers, at least not at the beginning.
Right.
Their reigns show how easily someone, even with good intentions, can be led astray by ambition and power.
Yeah, it's like watching a train wreck in slow motion. You know it's coming, but they can't seem to stop themselves.
Right.
Before we get into all that, though, we need to set the stage. Their stories are really tied to Athalia, and she makes Cersei Lannister look tame.
Oh, Athalia. She was a force of nature, daughter of Ahab and Jezebel.
Yeah, those are some infamous names.
Oh, infamous rulers of the Northern Kingdom known for their ruthlessness and pagan worship. So you can imagine her influence.
Talk about powerful lineage. She must have inherited a double dose of ambition, right?
All right.
But how did she end up ruling Judah? That was a separate kingdom.
Well, her son, Hazael, became king of Judah. And as you might expect, he was heavily influenced by his mother.
Of course.
But his reign didn't last long. During a coup led by Jehu, who was on a mission to wipe out Ahab's entire dynasty, Ahaziah was killed.
Wow. Sounds like Jehu wasn't messing around. So what happened to Athalia? Did she just disappear?
No, not a chance. Athalia was not one to back down from power. She saw this as her chance to take control. She tried to eliminate every single potential rival to the throne. We're talking all descendants of David.
Wow. Cold-blooded. She really wanted to start her own dynasty, huh? But surely someone must have tried to stop her.
There was one brave soul, a priest named Jehoiada. He managed to rescue the infant Jehoash, the rightful heir, hid him right under Athalia's nose.
What a daring rescue. This Jehoiada sounds like a real hero. So how did Jehoash eventually reclaim his throne?
Jehoiada waited for the perfect moment. When Jehoash was about 7 years old, he orchestrated this amazing coup, gathered support from the temple guards and high-ranking officials. They staged a surprise coronation ceremony for Jehoash.
I bet Athalia was furious when she found out. What was her reaction?
Total shock. According to the Bible, when she heard all the commotion at the temple, she went to see what was happening and walked straight into Jehoiada's trap.
Wow. What a twist. What happened to her?
Jehoiada's supporters arrested and executed Athalia, ending her tyrannical rule and securing the throne for Jehoash.
It's incredible how Jehoiada risked everything to protect Jehoash and restore the Davidic line. He sounds like a true hero. But tell me more about Jehoash's reign. Did he live up to the expectations?
His early reign, with Jehoiada as his guide, was a time of peace and religious revival. They even renovated the temple using a really interesting method to collect money. They had a donation box placed right outside the temple gates.
Huh, a donation box. That's fascinating. Where'd you learn that?
Both 2 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles 24 mention it. It seems like it was a big deal.
Yeah, it sounds like Jehoash started off strong. But I have a feeling there's more to the story. Things took a turn, didn't they?
Yeah. Sadly, after Jehoiada died, Jehoash seemed to lose his way.
You know, it makes you wonder if he was just playing the role of good king, because Jehoiada was there to guide him.
That's an interesting thought. Maybe deep down, he was always vulnerable to corruption.
It's possible. But what happened? What were some of the specific things that marked his descent?
His actions after Jehoiada's death were shocking. He allowed pagan worship to come back into Judah and even ordered the execution of Zechariah, Jehoiada's own son.
He executed the son of his protector. That's brutal. Why would he do that?
Well, the chronicler says that Zechariah had publicly rebuked Jehoash for his actions, warned him that God would punish him for abandoning his faith and those who had been loyal to him.
It sounds like Jehoash was becoming paranoid, maybe even a little power hungry.
It certainly seems that way. Zechariah's defiance, coupled with Jehoash's growing thirst for power, sealed his fate.
Such a tragic story. It really highlights the dangers of unchecked power. Were there any immediate consequences for Jehoash after this?
The chronicler doesn't really go into detail about that, but he does connect this event to a pattern in Judah's history. The killing of prophets who dared to speak truth to power. Some scholars even believe Jesus might have been referencing this incident when he spoke about the persecution of prophets.
That's a chilling thought. So what about the political consequences of Jehoash's actions? Did all this internal turmoil weaken Judah?
It definitely seems like it. His internal conflicts and his straying from traditional beliefs probably created divisions within the kingdom, making it vulnerable to attack.
So it was ripe for invasion. And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly. The Arameans, a powerful force to the north, saw their opportunity.
I see. So they saw weakness and decided to strike. But what were they after? Was it just about conquering, or were they looking for something specific?
They were definitely after something specific. The strategic port city of Ezion-Geber. The city was extremely valuable. It controlled key trade routes and generated a lot of wealth.
Right.
The Arameans knew capturing it would give them a significant advantage.
So it was a bit like the ancient world's version of the Suez Canal, huh? A strategic choke point and a symbol of power. How did Jehoash respond to this threat? Did he step up and defend his kingdom?
Sadly, no. His reign, marked by so much internal conflict and his own moral decline, had weakened his authority. He was no longer the strong, decisive leader he had been in his youth under Jehoiada.
It sounds like his pride and his bad decisions had created a perfect storm, leaving Judah vulnerable. And then what happened to Jehoash? Was he able to fight back against the Arameans?
His ending was tragic. Instead of uniting his kingdom against the invaders, his own officials assassinated him. It's a stark reminder that those who hold power without integrity often meet a grim end.
Wow, what a fall from grace. From a promising young king under Jehoiada's guidance to a tyrannical ruler betrayed by his own people.
Mm.
His story really shows that true power isn't just about strength or politics, but about character, integrity, and staying true to your values.
Mm.
But what about his son, Amaziah? Did he learn from his father's mistakes and choose a different path?
Unfortunately, the cycle of pride and downfall doesn't end with Jehoash Amaziah's reign. While initially promising, ultimately followed a similar path.
Oh no. Sounds like history is about to repeat itself.
Yeah.
Tell me, what were the early years of Amaziah's reign like? Did he show any signs of breaking free from those patterns? So, Amaziah, he takes over after his father's tragic end. Did he learn anything? Did he break free from that cycle?
At first, it seemed like he was on the right track.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he took his role as king seriously, punished those who had betrayed his father,
mm-hmm.
even had some military victories, strengthened Judah's position.
It sounds like he was doing pretty well. He had a sense of justice, wasn't afraid to use his authority.
He did. But we know from Dr. Conkle's lectures that things didn't stay that way.
Right, right.
There was a turning point. His decision to fight the Edomites.
The Edomites.
He won that campaign, but he made a big mistake. He brought back their idols and started worshiping them.
Oh, no. That's not good. It's like he forgot all about the consequences of turning away from God, from his own family history.
Exactly. It's like he was repeating the mistakes of the kings before him, letting those foreign gods in. And you know what that leads to.
Right. Internal struggles, divine judgment. It never ends well.
Right.
But how did this affect his relationship with Israel? They weren't exactly best friends, were they?
No, not at all. His decision to worship those Edomite gods probably caused a lot of tension. Remember, Israel had their own traditions, their own ambitions. They wouldn't be happy about this.
So, not a good move for Amaziah. Did it lead to war?
Yes, it did. Amaziah, feeling confident after his victory over Edom, challenged the king of Israel to a battle.
He what? That's a bold move. Did he really think he could win against Israel?
It seems like pride and overconfidence got the better of him. He let his early success go to his head.
A classic mistake. Did anyone try to talk him out of it?
Well, actually, the king of Israel himself tried to reason with him.
He did.
Yeah. He sent a message to Amaziah, urging him to reconsider, even used a metaphor to make his point.
A metaphor, huh? What kind of metaphor?
He compared Judah to a weak little thistle and Israel to a mighty cedar tree.
Oh, I get it. Like, don't even try, little thistle. You're going to get crushed. It seemed like he was really trying to prevent a war.
He was. He even suggested that God was on Israel's side. Maybe he thought that would persuade Amaziah.
But did it work?
Sadly, no. Amaziah was blinded by pride. He ignored the advice and went ahead with the war.
And what happened? How bad was it?
It was a disaster. The Israelites completely defeated Judah's army, captured Amaziah, and broke through the walls of Jerusalem.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Not only did he lose the battle, but his capital city was captured. What happened to Amaziah? Did they kill him?
No, they spared his life, but took him back to Samaria as a prisoner. They plundered Jerusalem, took treasures and hostages.
What a humiliation. What a change from when he first started out.
It is quite a change. So they eventually released him, but was he able to regain control?
Right. What happened after that?
He went back to Jerusalem, but his reign was never the same. He faced opposition, unrest, lived for another 15 years, but ultimately he was assassinated.
Another tragic ending. Just like his father. It's fascinating how both of them had moments of success, but their pride and bad decisions ultimately led to their downfall.
It's like a pattern that repeats itself throughout history. Leaders get seduced by power, make bad choices, and destroy everything they've built.
Yeah, it's a powerful reminder that real leadership isn't about strength or politics, but about character, wisdom, and recognizing that true strength comes from humility and seeking guidance.
Absolutely. And I think that's what we can learn from these stories. They challenge us to examine our own lives, our own ambitions, and ask ourselves, are we letting pride lead us astray?
We've been talking about Jehoash and Amaziah.
Yeah, two kings of Judah.
And their stories, as told by Dr. Conkle in his Chronicles lectures.
And it has been a journey. We've seen their early promise, their temptations, the allure of power, and the consequences of their actions.
It's like a morality play, isn't it? With all the drama and those hard lessons about human nature. But it's not just ancient history. These stories still resonate today.
Exactly. That's what makes them so powerful. They're not just about kings and kingdoms. They're about us, about the choices we make, the temptations we face.
Yeah, we may not rule nations or fight in battles, but we still deal with pride and ambition, the desire for control. It's all there, maybe in more subtle ways.
It is. It's easy to look at those kings and think, oh, I'd never do that. But we all have those seeds of pride within us. It's human nature.
So how do we avoid falling into those traps? How do we stay humble, grounded, and resist that temptation in a world that often rewards the opposite?
That's the big question, isn't it? There's no easy answer. But I think it starts with awareness. Recognizing those subtle ways pride sneaks into our lives, how it disguises itself as ambition, confidence, even a desire to help others.
Like a master of disguise, right? Wearing different masks.
Yeah.
But once we see it, what do we do? How do we combat it?
One powerful tool is gratitude. Taking time to appreciate what we have. Acknowledging the people who helped us. Recognizing that our success is not solely our own.
I love that. Gratitude fighting against pride. It's like when you're truly grateful, it's harder to get caught up in your ego.
Right. Gratitude shifts our focus. It takes us away from ourselves and reminds us that we're part of something bigger, connected to something larger.
It sounds almost like a spiritual practice, this cultivation of gratitude. It would lead to a more humble, compassionate life, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. When we're grateful, we don't see ourselves as the center of everything. We're more open to learning, to admitting our mistakes, to using our gifts to help others.
And that's what true leadership is all about, isn't it? Not power or control, but service. Using our influence to make a difference.
You got it. And that's the biggest lesson we can learn from Jehoash and Amaziah. They remind us that true success comes from humility, compassion, and a commitment to something greater than ourselves.
Well said. And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into ancient Judah. May their stories inspire us all to live with more humility, purpose, and connection to something beyond ourselves.